as a donor, we need to start asking, how impactful is your work?
What are you doing with the money?
What are you doing? Yeah, what are you actually doing with this money?
Yeah.
And how good are you at it? And how do you know you're good at it?
And why are you doing it?
Yes, and why should I give it to you and not someone else? No, we're not going to restrict funding to you for a particular project or a particular thing. We're going to fund your core. We're going to fund you as a team to give you a role or whatever it is. But we're going to couple that and combine that with strategic advice.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. With me today, I have the executive director of Funders in Good. So we're two students of knowledge. I've got my little notebook where I'm going to write down your pearls of wisdom.
Yes.
Well, and you're going to presumably write down my questions.
Yeah.
Or throw the book at me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you start grilling me too much, yeah. you might end up with a personalized book in your head.
So, Rizwan, you have been in the charity sector for a while, and you recently took up the position at Funders in Good, which is a new form of doing charity, which is very exciting, very new. But before we get into what Funders in Good do, I want to kind of understand, you know, your experience in the charity sector, some of the issues, some of the challenges that the charities face. Let me start with my personal pet peeve, which is the 100% donation policy.
Wow, let's get in there. Okay.
So I don't think that, you know, us as a community pushing, you know, 100% donation policies is particularly healthy. I don't think it, you know, it really captures what's actually going on even, you know, because the money flows all the way through, right? And it's never ever going to be completely free of admin fees. Let's dive in. What is your experiences? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think let's get a couple of things straight, right? So a charity, when it takes your donation, in order to get it to wherever it needs to get to, it's going to cost some money. You know, it's not going to happen for free. Unless you're talking about, by the way, there's one exception is you have micro charities. If you're like a one-person team, they've decided for whatever reason they're going to take your donation and give it to someone else off, you know, out of good faith, that's fine. That's different. But generally speaking...
And even them, like if you think about it, they have donated their own admin fees.
Their time, right? Exactly.
And like
exactly.
They're paying
it
for
still costs money or it still costs time.
Someone paid for it.
They paid for it maybe years ago when they were basically investing themselves.
Or even like, you know, they say, oh, like, we're going to pay for the travel and everything. But hang on, someone is paying for the travel. It's them. It's absolutely. Their donation.
Absolutely. Which is absolutely correct. And so just to be clear, donors must know that to get anything done, it costs money, time, energy, effort, and so on. And the other thing we should know for sure is that having a low admin fee or a 100% donation policy is no indication or of it being a good charity, right? So just because someone has said we've got 100, they may well have achieved some in some way, they may have achieved a 100% donation policy in some way. The reality is that is no indication that the work they're doing is impactful. In fact, you could argue the opposite. You could argue that because they are not paying anyone or somehow kind of cutting costs somewhere, that actually the quality of their work isn't as great. Actually, maybe they're cutting costs in the way that they account for the money or how they make people safe when they're giving the money, or various things. So actually, whatever we believe about, you know, wherever we stand on this thing, one thing is for sure, you know, having a 100% donation policy or a low admin fee is no indication of impact. And that's the key thing. I think actually this is my point. My point is just that, you know, every year, throughout the year, this question of donation policies rears its head. Actually, I think it's a bit of a red herring. It's because we're asking the wrong question. As a donor, rather than asking what's your donation policy, we need to start asking how impactful is your work?
What are you doing with the money?
What are you doing? Yeah, what are you actually doing with this money?
Yeah.
And how good are you at it? And how do you know you're good at it?
And why are you doing it?
Yes, and why should I give it to you and not someone else? What's funny is that we do that analysis for every other purchase we do in our lives.
Kitchens. Okay? Why should we go for you and not the other one?
The other day, I was looking at buying a new TV. £500-600 is my outlay, right? I've been through Which, I've been through every review, trusted reviews, everything, and I've got down to the end. I know the pixel rate and everything about this TV, right? I've also decided to compare across different suppliers and said which one I'm going to go with, right? It's taken me probably too long, about a week or two to work this out. What's funny is that I will give when it comes to donation, what we tend to do is all of that goes out the window.
Mm.
Suddenly, it becomes just a case of giving and forgetting.
Yeah.
And that's what seems to be wrong. What we need to start thinking a little bit more commercially, actually, and saying, hey, look, when we give, where is this going? Actually, are you the best people to be giving it to? Let's take an example of, like, as you know, our brothers and sisters in Turkey and Syria are currently going through a horrific situation with the earthquakes. So when we give, what do we want to know? One of the things we should probably ask is, hey, do you actually work in Turkey and Syria?
Mm.
Or have you ever responded to a crisis like this before? How quickly can you get the money to them? How will you know your money was effective?
Yeah.
How all of these questions should come up, just like we would do if we were buying anything else, any other particular service. And this is what I...
For example, if there was an earthquake in Bolton, God forbid, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't give to a London charity.
Exactly.
You wouldn't give to a charity that doesn't know how to deal with earthquakes.
Exactly. And for the same reason that you wouldn't perhaps...
Like Muslim Youth Helpline. You wouldn't give money to Muslim Youth Helpline, for example, as a random one. Or like, there's a burial charity, right? You wouldn't give it to them.
Yes, because they do good work. If that's all that it takes for you to give, then that's not enough, basically. We need to understand, are they really good at what they do? Do they have an expertise? Have they got even passion for that particular work? That's a really key, important point. And as I say, in our kind of normal retail consumer world, what we would be thinking about is, hey, do you operate in that community, in that area? Mm. Do you operate in that country? So if I'm sending a parcel, for example, and I want to get it to Pakistan, but Evri don't work there, well then don't give it to Evri. Quite obvious, right? But again, we wouldn't do that when it comes to giving donations. Somehow they're a charity, that's fine, let's give it to them. So I think this is where we, again, as a community, we need to think twice. But this is partly actually a question of supply and demand.
Mm.
If we indicate to our charities and as a community that what's really important to us is your 100% donation policy, well, then that's what they're going to give us.
Mm.
They will tell us, hey, they will do whatever it takes to achieve that or to make it look like that. Whereas if we start to indicate to our charities that actually we really care about how good you are, what you do, and how you make sure that people are safe when you work with them, and that you always measure whether you are actually doing good work. If we start sharing that with our charities,
you're sustainable. You're sustainable. I mean, for heaven's sake,
yes.
We've been talking to charities, a bunch of charities recently, and I think around investment and just the cash flow management, right? We talk about 100% donation policies.
Exactly.
Inflation is 10%.
Yes.
And if you don't manage your cash flow right, let's say the charitable sector raises $1 billion a year,
mm-hmm.
we don't take any steps there, that's 100 million up in smoke.
Right, absolutely. And I think this sustainability is a key one, because what we've got to remember is that actually a charity, a lot of the time, is working like a business. It needs to make sure that it has some surplus at the end of the year, so it can make sure that it's doing all the things you really do want it to do.
Mm.
Like, we want the charity to account for our money and make sure it goes to where it's supposed to go, right? Now, we can either expect them to do that, on the back of an envelope, or we can ask them to go to a chartered accountant or have someone in-house to do that. The latter costs more money than the former. So we've got to understand that if we want a good service, which I know we do, everyone I speak to says, I expect more from my giving. Well, then we've got to pay for that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Bring the zakat kind of world into this discussion, I'm sure we're all aware that one of the categories of zakat is about, administration. It's about the amilin alayha.
Right? Yeah,
so if Allah can... you know, prescribe this or allow for this, then we must kind of think, wait a second, there must be some thinking behind that. And what's interesting about that particular category is that you don't have to be poor to receive it. You know, you can be a perfectly wealthy, rich person and receive an income in order to deliver that zakat. So again, it's just an indication that, you know, this is important in our faith. It's perfectly normal and acceptable. What are the risks?
Al-mu'allafat al-qulub, right? And I was reading this story. I mean, again, the people that Prophet ﷺ gave that money to, you know, soften the hearts, is usually recent Muslims,
exactly.
leaders,
yes.
And already quite wealthy people, true. Who he just made mega wealthy, right?
Exactly.
Suhail ibn Amr, Sufyan, yeah. Radiallahu anhu, they were given tons of wealth, mm-hmm. and they became, you know, 100 red camels.
Yes.
That's kind of like multi-millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's coming out of,
you know, communal fund.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming from the communal fund.
And that's strategic.
That's strategic.
And that's mind-blowing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's so, and this is where the question of strategy comes in. What is the long-term aim? And again, as a giver, what is my long-term aim? What am I trying to achieve in the long term? So when I'm giving, do I just want to make, and I think the answer is for most people is the same. When I'm giving, if we're talking about humanitarian aid, do I want to just look after this person's dinner tonight, or do I want to make sure that they don't need to ask for dinner for in the future? It's usually the latter.
Mm.
And that's what we need to be starting to think about. Is that, you know, how do we invest in kind of making that happen? And that's strategic thinking. Like, let's start worrying about the long term. What's the long term aim of our work? And then what is it going to take to get there?
And so, Rizwan, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, it's all well and good to say charities need to have a bit more of a strategy, long-term focus. But the reality is that I know all the guys in charities, and you know, guys and girls in charity,
yeah.
they're very meaningful, you know, very kind of sincere people working hard.
Sure.
Firstly, they may not necessarily always have the skill set for it,
mm-hmm.
for some of these additional things that we're now demanding.
Yeah.
True. And secondly, you know, we're saying to them, you know, we're saying to someone who's an operator, right? You don't get stuff done, which I feel is great to see in the charities. We're saying to them, okay, now do the strategy as well.
Yeah, good question. So I think, again, there is a role for donors in actually solving this particular problem. What we're doing is we're saying to our charities, by the way we're currently giving, when we're responding to crises and wanting them to do things on a shoestring, what we're saying is, we're going to give you money only to do the work you're doing right now. We don't want you to save any money for the future, we're not going to pay for making sure that you're skilled up, that you've got the best people in the roles, and so on. We may not want that, but that's how we, in the way that we donate. That's what we're kind of achieving that's the message we're sending essentially to our charities. So one of the key challenges is about funding. What you'll find is that 9 out of 10 charities, especially the smaller ones, are led by passionate, driven, amazing people. And what they do is they manage to get some funding for a year, maybe for 6 months, for 2 years. And it's for a very specific cause. So it's what they call restricted funding, right? They may have secured some funding to go and do this particular project. What happens is that they go off and deliver this project, and let's say they've got some funding for a year. In month 11, they have to think about what's going to happen in month 13. Does that make sense? Because they've had their head down and they're firefighting. All they're doing is they're trying to respond to whatever is required in that charity to survive. And they've become reliant on this kind of funding to survive. So when you're in that mindset, you know, I'm sure we've all been there, you're operating, you're just making ends meet, you're just surviving, you're just delivering. In that environment, and in that kind of
you're on the mindset, hamster wheel.
You're in the hamster wheel. Now try and tell that person, think big, think long term. It's really difficult. Because that's just not the mode you're in. You don't have the luxury, essentially, right? Or, you know, the bandwidth to say, hey, yeah, what should we do in next year? Or how are we going to become sustainable? Or how are we going to actually have the impact that we want to have? What is the impact we want to have? You know, all of those questions, people do want to answer in charities, but sometimes you just don't have the time or the space to do that. And this is where, again, as donors, we can say, hey, you know what, actually, when we're giving you money, we're happy for you to use it how you want to use it. So one of the things we're worth saying is try to fund the core of an organization, you know, and say, hey, look, if you need this for salaries, use it. If that's what's going to help you to become sustainable, if that's what's going to help you so that in 10, 15, 20, 100 years, you're still around and you're helping 10 times, 100 times more people, let's do that. Because that's what's going to achieve the impact we really want.
Mm.
So this is another thing. So when we're just worth thinking about as a donor, do I just pay for this particular project or let's say this food pack? Shall I also contribute to the actual running of that organization so that they have the bandwidth and the opportunity to access those skills?
Yeah, and Rizwan, you know, before we turn to, you know, what exactly Funders in Good is and what role it has to potentially, you know, help with some of these problems, are there any other, you know, big meaty problems that you see facing the charity sector right now that they need to face, that we all need to face into?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, if you think about my background has been focused pretty much exclusively on the UK domestic work. So what I've seen in the last, say, 10, you know, maybe a bit longer years is the key challenge was actually just to get people, you know, the Muslim community to start thinking about investing here in the UK. And if you think about National Zakat Foundation and so on, that's what we were trying to do. Rather than seeing it essentially as a challenge, what I'm actually seeing is actually some really positive signs. I'm seeing a growing number of people, Muslims around the UK, wanting to give back locally into their own communities. Why is that? We're talking about, you know, second, third, fourth generation communities.
Yeah.
For whom home is, for me, home is Walthamstow. I know I'm originally from India, Pakistan, my parents are, and I have this background, and I'm proud of that. But home is still Walthamstow. You know, and I know that if I'm going to kind of grow if we're going to grow as a community, if my children are going to feel safe and confident Muslims, I need to invest locally.
Mm.
And it's also about the question of spheres of influence, right? So we've got to think about where can we make the most change or the most difference? So if I live in, let's say, Blackburn, and I want to make a change, I'm more likely to be able to make a change in Blackburn than I am in, say,
Ethiopia,
wherever you are.
Pakistan,
right? I'm more likely, with my energy, my effort, my skills, my connections, my money, likely to be able to make the change I need to locally than I'm likely to do somewhere else which I've never been or never heard of or have never been, you know? So that's a really important point. That doesn't mean you don't give away. I mean, these questions aren't, you know, zero-sum games. We should be contributing around the world. But think locally as well, because in the end, this is where we are, and we have a responsibility to respond to those challenges in our communities. So yes, that's one of the key challenges. But to me, one of the bigger challenges, I don't know if it's a charity challenge, but it's a challenge for the community. And this is probably one of the reasons, this is one of the reasons why Funders came about, is really quite an existential challenge, actually, which is that we live in a society right now, in 2023, where, according to the last census, there's been a 15% rise in the number of people who have no faith in the last 10 years. That's now 6 in 10 people who have said, I don't have a faith. Right, in our society where we live. So what does that mean for a Muslim, for a believer? What does that mean? For me, that means both an opportunity and a duty. That we have an opportunity as a community to become the voice of faith, right? The voice of God, to, you know, essentially. Because, you know, we know that as a human, every human has somewhere in their heart, however deep it may be, an innate want to know Allah, right? They must want to know God, right? And if most of the people around you have no connection, then there has to be not only an opportunity, but a duty for you to do that. And how do we do that? There's many ways we do that. But one of the key things as a community is that there will always be groups of people, like IFG, like Funders Good, like others, who come together around a particular purpose, some particular purpose, which is about serving that community and standing up and being there for what it stands for as a community. And we stand for belief, and belief stand for Allah. So this is what we call social ventures.
Mm.
These are basically groups of Muslims who've come together, or groups of people who've come together to serve a particular purpose. And when you think about a community that's flourishing, that's growing, that's really being everything we want it to be, it's going to be partly built on these pillars of just people. We call them institutions, or we call them organizations or charities, or whatever it may be. But in the end, just
groups of people.
Groups of people who are united in some kind of purpose. So this is where I think where Funders in Good sort of came in.
So what is Funders in Good?
So Funders in Good is a venture philanthropy fund, some people refer to it as like a social impact fund. And venture philanthropy is essentially...
Not a charity. Not your traditional charity.
Not your traditional charity. What we do is actually we invest in other charities.
Right.
So our aim is to really, everything we've been talking about so far, is support charities and what we call social ventures to become sustainable, to become scalable, to improve their services, so that in the long term, their impact is growing and is increasing.
So effectively, you know, all of this stuff where, you know, we're saying, look, charity, you know, you need to ask charities these questions, you need to do the diligence on these charities, you need to encourage charities to do so, you need to hold their hand over the long term. You're like the outsourced version of that, in some way.
Yeah, in a sense, yes, you're right. I mean, so what we do is what we see in the community are amazing social ventures, amazing organizations, passionate people. But they are in this vicious cycle.
Hmm.
They're just looking for money to survive. They don't have the bandwidth, they don't have the skills, they don't have the funding or the expertise to really become impactful, to really achieve what we want them to achieve. We probably see that all the time, all of us, right? We have this project that's happening locally in our community. We would love to see that grow, right? And there's a reason why sometimes they do, but sometimes they just don't grow. Or they disappear altogether. It's because of the challenge. These are the challenges they're facing. And what Funders in Good is trying to say is, no, we're here to try and break that cycle and say, no, we're not going to restrict funding to you for a particular project or a particular thing. We're going to fund your core. We're going to fund you as a team to give you a role or whatever it is. But we're going to couple that and combine that with strategic advice, actual support, things like helping them with a strategic plan or financial planning or governance, safeguarding, whatever it takes for them to become a resilient, sustainable entity, a social venture. That's what we're there to do. So that's what Funders in Good is there to do, and at operational level. And our role is to identify these social ventures in our community and say which ones are really going to have the impact and are going to be that we're going to be able to really bring value to.
Because you can't work with loads, right? You've got a finite amount of time and money.
Exactly, and this is one of the challenges, if you like, of the donor. So alhamdulillah, again, one of the great things we're seeing is we're starting to see a growing number of Muslim donors who want to give locally, but also want to give strategically, right? They want to. They recognize that they need to give in a way which is going to achieve long-term impact. The problem they have is that they don't necessarily know who is doing strategic work or is having impactful work. They don't have the time or energy really to say, for example, or the time or the skills even to actually provide the support that they want to provide to an organization. So if an organization needs governance, for example, they may not have that skill set, you know? And also they may be contributing from themselves as one individual at a level which isn't going to have the impact that's needed for a particular organization. So this is where Funders in Good can come in. What it does is it says, no, we're going to do the sourcing for you. We're going to identify the best. We're going to put them through what we call a venture health check, which looks at 12 areas of an organization to identify their strengths and weaknesses. Select them, and then we're going to pool the funding of our network so we can have a real strategic change within organizations by providing them funding, but also providing them the support they need. So for example, we want to help someone with strategic planning. Well, we will find someone in our network who's a strategist in their day job, who works for big companies, who does strategy. They're willing to give a few hours or days of their time to support. This is actually what's really powerful. You'll start to see organizations which are freed up to think big.
Yeah.
And that's what's really powerful. Because the moment they start doing that, that's when they can start.
And so what does success look like for Funders in Good?
So, I mean, for a social venture, essentially there's three objectives that we're trying to achieve when it comes to our investment, if you like. One is that we can increase their scale, right? That we've already recognized they're doing great work, but there's greater demand for that particular work, so we want to support them to reach more beneficiaries, essentially. The second one is sustainability, that they're financially sustainable. That one of our, what we call an exit goal, is that by the time Funders in Good starts to sort of fade away from our investment with our social venture, that they're in a position to continue their work at the scale, at the same scale as they as when we leave them. So essentially, don't go back to square one. So the second one is about financial sustainability. Is that organization able to raise the income they need to deliver the work they're doing in the long term? And they're not doing that purely to survive, but to actually grow. Okay, so that's the second one. And the third objective we're working on is about improving the actual service. Is the quality of the service really what it could be? So we're trying to see how do we actually improve that. And what comes under that is a really important area of our work, which is about impact measurement. It's about really understanding the difference that the social venture wants to make, and then putting in systems to make sure that we can check that they are doing it. You know, it's a really simple thing. But most ventures, or most of our charities, what they tend to do is do the work. They'll get some really nice anecdotes and really nice kind of testimonials.
Video photos,
right?
Yeah.
And they'll be doing amazing work because this person said so, right? But there's no, when you look a little bit deeper, you notice actually they don't have an objective framework which says, hey, when we asked everyone, this is what the data is telling
us.
This
is what we're measuring against.
Exactly.
They probably don't even have that.
This is the key thing. So one of the places we start with a lot of our ventures is asking the question, why do you exist? I know it sounds like a really basic question, but you ask a lot of these questions. Sometimes have been around for many years. That's quite a complex question to answer. Why do we exist, and what is the difference we want to make? In other words, what is the objective of our work? And once you've understood that, that's when we start to look at, okay, well, let's see if you are doing that. And if we're not, that's fine. At least we know now.
What we're trying to do.
Yeah, at least we know what we're trying to do and whether we're achieving that. And then if we're not, let's change something so that we are.
So the charities, or social ventures, as you call them, you choose, are actually not the, like, people might look at the charities you choose and think, they're not the absolutely the best high performing charities out there because they don't need help.
Exactly.
And they're not the worst or the earliest of the charities because they're perhaps beyond help or too early.
Sure.
Usually these charities will be somewhere in the middle.
That's correct,
With potential.
Exactly, it's all about the high potential. You're right, so you know, we're not going to work with organizations which are doing everything great. I mean, frankly, they don't need our help. If anything, maybe we can learn something from them.
Yeah.
There are also organizations which are either too young, as in they haven't proven the concept yet, or that they are struggling in some way. And again, we're not turnaround specialists. We're not here to say, here we are, we're going to turn you around, we're going to fix things. That's not the aim. What we're looking for is that, as you said, in the middle, these social ventures are organizations which have sometimes been around for a while, have some track record, but have great potential. They just need what we can give them.
Additional spark.
That spark, that reminder of why they exist, that that injection of funding, but support to really take them to where they need to be. And a lot of these organizations are the types of organizations which a lot of us may not have even heard of. They're not the big ones. They're not the ones that have the best marketing or are always in our social media. They're the ones that sometimes work quietly in the background, but they're building us as a community. And that's what's key. What a lot of our social ventures are there to do is about really, as a community, giving us identity, you know, or preserving or developing our identity, giving us confidence as a community. And I think this is another key point, Ibrahim, that, you know, the way that we see our work in some ways is really an evolution of the amazing and basically vital work that our elders did before us. Look, when our elders, a lot of our elders will have come over, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, right? They came and they had very simple and clear objectives. They needed somewhere to pray, they needed somewhere to eat or to get halal food, and they needed somewhere to die, frankly, to be buried, you know? And those were the needs of the time. And look how amazingly they did to make that happen. We've got masajid around the country. We've got Muslim cemeteries. We probably got too much halal food, right?
Yeah.
But in fairness, you have to hand it to
smashed it. Yeah.
Killed it. I mean, what they've achieved, we can't underestimate. But the key thing is that in order to honor that, to honor that work that they did, I don't believe the way to do that is to do what they did exactly, to duplicate, and in other words, to find more Muslim cemeteries or build more mosques. Don't get me wrong, there may be a need for some mosques.
Yeah.
But that's not the kind of priority right now.
Yeah.
We need to respond to the needs of our community now and for the future.
Mm.
And this is where I think a project and organization like Funders Again Good can come in. It says, hey, we are going to invest in these groups of people, these social ventures.
Yeah.
Which are responding to the needs of our community right now and for the future.
And you're a slightly different charity, right, Rizwan? Because you don't necessarily go around actually actively fundraising, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of want to work more with, I think, possibly a bit larger donors who also have some other value add that they can bring.
Yeah,
so that you can kind of work together with them on a social venture.
No, that's correct. I think we've made a call that we want to work with what we call our funder network, and our funders are people who are very clearly committed to what we are trying to do. So they're like-minded network of people. And yes, we have a limit to how much a lower limit, that minimum threshold, if you like, to join the network. But crucially, it's about a group of people who really understand what we're trying to achieve and can contribute beyond money.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They have some expertise, some advice, some guidance for our ventures. So, one of the great things right now is that one of our funders is doing impact measurement workshops with our ventures. Beautiful, because they're not only giving money, but they're actually giving of their own time or from their own expertise. And this is something we're seeing more and more. We're seeing Muslim professionals who want to give back in a practical way, but they want to do so with the skills and experience and everything that they've built up in their careers. Because that's where they know
that's
they
really
can be
useful.
More impactful.
Yeah. Because
if you're an accountant and you've run the finance teams for big companies, and then you're asked to come and do something completely random at a charity, then you're not going to be able to do a very good job, no matter how good you are. But if we can leverage that skill and experience to help, let's say, a venture to plan their finances, that's where you're going to get the impact.
There is one. We're obviously very excited to be backing Funders in Good via this, Ramadan charity guide, inshallah. The way that we thought about it is that, last year we had a whole bunch of charities and NGOs and people on there.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to just do that again,
yeah.
Right? In many ways, it's easier for us to do that. But we thought, okay, well, if we do that, we think that this muscle that the Muslim community needs of what you guys are doing at Funders in Good won't be developed.
Yeah.
Or developed as much. And so it makes sense to, just back you guys and let you do, that work. And I'm sure you'll make mistakes, right?
Yeah, sure.
But it's better for you to make the mistake because you're actually doing it full time, and you know you're looking to build an institution here.
Absolutely. Firstly, obviously, thank you very much. We really appreciate that. It's a vote of confidence, and I think, alhamdulillah, we're starting to see, as I mentioned, a community coming around strategic giving. You know, this is really, really, really important. My advice to, I suppose, everyone is really about thinking, as I said right at the beginning, how do we think about when we're giving? How do we achieve some kind of long-term aim as a community? And I would say that one of the key long-term aims is about making us as a community here grow, flourish, become more confident, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So how do we, as a donor, as a customer, how do we make that happen?
Yeah.
So I would just try to remind ourselves about that particular question.
So brilliant. So Rizwan, if people want to donate to Funders in Good, they can obviously just do that via the IFG platform.
Sure.
For larger donors, let's say who are looking to put 5-10k plus into Funders in Good, it's probably worth going directly to you.
Absolutely.
Fundersingood.co.uk.
.com. Yeah.
And then they can just drop you a line on contact
just,
us.
Just go to our website. There's a form on there. You just kind of put in your details. And then we'll start the process of kind of onboarding you into our network. So as you said, if you'd like to work with us directly, individually, you can join the network directly. But alhamdulillah, this year, through your help, any donor is able to kind of contribute to Funders in Good through IFG.
Fantastic. So there we have it, folks. Funders in Good, a new approach to charity in the Islamic charity space in the UK today. And I'm really excited, inshallah, to see where this goes.
Thank you so much.